The scripture reading for tonight is Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet that God sent to Judah, the southern kingdom, right before Judah was taken into captivity. At the time Jeremiah was sent, the people of Judah were walking in their sins. Because they would not turn, they now faced grave consequences. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, we read of the consequences they face. We will read the whole chapter. The text is verse 16. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-hakerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, They shall through thee glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. For the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Thus far we read the word of God tonight. The text is verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah 6 speaks of a people who had rejected God's paths. Jehovah was the God of the people of Judah in the Old Testament. He had given them the promised land where they enjoyed rest from all of their enemies. He even dwelt with them in the temple. He had given them much. Having given them much, Jehovah also gave them commands. He told them, walk in my ways. Along with those commands, Jehovah gave them warnings and promises. Already way back in Leviticus chapter 26, during the days of Moses, Jehovah had told Israel, walk in my ways and you will enjoy my friendship. However, if you do not, if you walk in sin and continue in that way, you will be miserable. You will be destroyed. God had made himself very clear to the people of Judah. Yet over and over again we read in the Old Testament that the people of Judah failed to walk in God's ways. We read of how they followed the example of wicked kings, worshiping idols instead of worshiping the one true God as he had commanded them to do. We read over and over again of how they walked in the ways of the heathen nations around them. In the book of Jeremiah, we see again and again that they did not treat their neighbor as God commanded, but instead, every man thought about himself. It was an every man for himself attitude in the land of Judah. Even after Jeremiah came and warned the people of Judah continued in that way. God called Jeremiah the prophet to go to Judah and to command them to turn and warn them of impending judgment if they did not. Jeremiah did just that. He went into the land of Judah. He commanded them to turn. And along with that command to turn, he told them, in the way of turning, you will experience again Jehovah's favor. Jeremiah 3, verse 22, makes it plain that Jeremiah had called them numerous times. Jeremiah 3, verse 22 says, return, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. However, Jeremiah also warned them. He said, if you continue in sin, you will be taken captive. Judah was warned, but they only grew in their sins and were hardened. This was all a process. In verse 7, we read that Jeremiah called them to turn, but sin continued to pour forth from their hearts like water from a fountain. In Jeremiah 6, verses 13 through 15, We see that when Jeremiah called them out for their sins of idolatry and adultery, they were not even embarrassed in the least. It says they did not even blush. They did not care. Because of their repeated refusal to take heed to the call to turn, they had now become hardened in their sins. And being hardened in their sins, they answered Jeremiah's call to turn by saying, We will not do that. We will not walk in God's ways. God says in Jeremiah 6 that they will now face the full fury of His wrath. Now the question that we must consider tonight is this. Which paths will we take? Which paths will we walk on? We fall into sin today as the church on this earth, just as Judah, the Old Testament church, did. God has made Himself known to us. He has given to us His Word. In His Word, He has given to us commands. He has said to us, "Walk in My ways, and in that way you will experience My wonderful friendship, My fellowship. However, if you walk in sin, you will be miserable." We've heard that. Today, God calls us in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, to turn and walk in His ways. He is very clear. Let us examine this calling that we are given in this text tonight. Let us understand clearly the warnings and promises in this text as well, and let us respond. Let us respond as a church by walking in the old paths, in God's paths. Let us consider this text tonight, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, under the theme, "Called to walk in the old paths." Called to walk in the old paths. First, the differing paths. Second, the call to walk in the old paths. And third, the promised rest. First, the differing paths. Second, the call to walk in the old paths. Third, the promised rest. If we are going to understand the main command in this text, walk in the old paths, we first have to understand the two differing paths. We have to know what the old paths are, and also their counterpart, the new paths. First, the text speaks of walking in old paths. What does it mean to walk in paths? Scripture often speaks of our walk here on this earth. One's walk is one's whole life in the world, one's whole life as he lives it from his heart. One's walk includes his life at church, includes his life at home, his life at school, his life at play. One's walk includes his thoughts and his words and his actions in all of these areas of life. So one's walk is his whole life in the world. Now, whenever one walks, he takes a path. That's why the text speaks of paths. Paths in the text refers to the commands and principles that one follows in his walk of life. Notice in the text in verse 16 that paths is plural. It does not say walk in the old path. It says old paths. There's a reason for that. There are principles and commands that we are to follow for every area of life. There is a path for the worship of God. There's a path for the treatment of the neighbor. A path for marriage and for the raising of our children. There are paths. God has ordained paths for men to walk in. These paths are the commands and principles of His Word. God's paths are the commands and principles of His Word. 2 John 1 verse 6 shows us this. 2 John 1 verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after His commandments." God tells us in His Word, He says, "This is My path for you. It's right here. Follow My Word." One who walks in God's paths lives every aspect of his life in obedience to His Word. Now, one who walks in God's paths is not living in simple outward conformity to a code of some kind. One who walks in God's paths is doing so out of gratitude to God for Christ. He knows what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, and he responds by walking in God's ways. Now, God's paths in this text, they are called the old paths. The commands and principles of God's word are called the old paths. The commands and principles of God's word are called old paths because these are the paths that God has ordained for men to follow from the very beginning. God gave Adam and Eve certain paths to follow. These paths still apply to us today. These are old paths. Now, the text does not just call the commands and principles of God's word the old paths. The text gives us another name as well. Verse 16 says, "Ask for the old paths, where is the good way?" God's paths are called the good way for two reasons. First, that these paths are called good means that these are the ethically good paths. They're the righteous paths. That makes sense. The righteous God has given us these paths to follow, thus they are certainly righteous, ethically good paths. Second, these paths are called good paths because these paths are the enjoyable way. One who walks in them experiences wonderful covenant life with God. There is nothing better than that. Thus, they are called the good, enjoyable paths. God has given the church specific old paths to follow for every area of life. God has given commands and principles to his church. He gave them to the Old Testament church. He has given us, the New Testament church, paths to follow also. God gave the Old Testament church specific paths to follow for worship. God showed already Adam and Eve, way back at the beginning, he showed them exactly how they were to worship him. He gave them a path. Later, God wrote down his path for worship in the Ten Commandments, commanding Israel to worship him and him alone, not to use graven images in their worship, to use his name in a reverent way, and to worship him on the Sabbath day. God gave them paths in the ceremonial law, showing them what feasts to keep and how to sacrifice unto him. These were not just traditions that Israel followed throughout the Old Testament. No, this was God's old ordained way for them. God gave them paths for worship. But he also gave them paths for the treatment of the neighbor. God showed Adam and Eve exactly what paths they were to follow in this area of life. And that is made evident in the history of Cain and Abel. Cain knew what he did wrong when he murdered Abel. He knew that he was supposed to love his brother. Adam and Eve already knew that was God's path for the treatment of the neighbor. Love him. Love her. Later, God wrote down the paths for the treatment of the neighbor in the Ten Commandments, saying, "Do not walk in impurity. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, murder with your words. Do not steal. Instead, walk in purity. Seek to serve the neighbor. Love the neighbor. Do good to him. That is my path for you." God gave the Old Testament church paths for worship, paths for the treatment of the neighbor, but also paths for marriage and paths for the raising up of their children, paths for the use of their money. And God has done the same for us. The paths that God has given us to follow are right here in his word. In his word, we find his paths for worship today. We as well have the Ten Commandments, the first four of which show us how we are to worship him, when we are to worship him. God has also showed to us in passages like John 4, verse 24. He has shown us there that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, that is, from our hearts. That's God's path for worship. God has told us throughout the New Testament how the church is to worship. He has commanded the church to preach the gospel and to administer the sacraments in a certain manner. When we come here on Sunday, then, we are not just following some traditions, some old traditions. No, this is God's old ordained path for His church, for worship. God has also given us paths in His Word for the treatment of the neighbor. He commands us, too, to love our spouse, to love our boss, love our siblings, our co-workers. In Ephesians chapter 5, in the book of Hosea, God gives to husbands, gives to wives, commands concerning their spouse, how they are to treat them. God gives us a path for marriage, commanding us to live in loving faithfulness to our spouse. In the book of Proverbs, God gives to us paths for the raising of our children. There He again and again commands us to teach our children in the fear of the Lord. That is a parent's duty. Those are God's paths for us. Now these old paths, the commands and principles of God's Word, these are the paths that God's people have followed and God's people continue to follow today, only by God's grace in Jesus Christ. These are the paths that God's people have followed throughout all of history. If you look way back in the Old Testament already, Adam and Eve followed God's paths. Adam and Eve taught their children in the fear of the Lord. They followed God's paths for child rearing. Abel, he followed God's paths for worship. Hebrews 11 verse 4 says he offered an excellent sacrifice unto God. Moses, he followed God's paths for the treatment of the neighbor. He gave up a life of ease in the palace of Pharaoh and gave himself to serving the children of Israel, leading them to the promised land. We see that God's people today walk in His paths as well. We see that in the lives of our parents and grandparents. Of course, they don't do so perfectly, but we see them striving to walk in God's ways, to follow the old paths, follow His commands. Now, God's people only follow God's paths and only have done so throughout history because of Christ's work in their hearts. Natural man is fallen. Natural man is fallen and he cannot walk in God's paths. And it is not just that naturally I cannot do it. Naturally, I do not want to walk in God's paths. Of myself, I hate what God says about worshiping Him. I hate what God says about the treatment of the neighbor. If left to myself, I would only do as I please. God's people only walk in the old paths because the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is theirs by God's grace. Only those who are chosen in Christ have the strength to desire to follow Him. Only those who have Christ's Spirit working within them live and walk as God demands in His Word. Those are the old paths, the commands and principles of His Word that His people have followed throughout history. Not perfectly, but they have followed them by God's marvelous work. Now, opposite these old paths are the new paths. The new paths, and we must understand tonight what those new paths are if we are going to walk in the old paths as God commands us to do in this text. But when I speak of new paths, one might immediately wonder, where are new paths even mentioned in Jeremiah 6, verse 16? And what are they? If you look at verse 16, you will not find the words new paths. They are never explicitly mentioned in the text, but they are certainly implied. The text begins by saying, "Stand ye in the ways." That word ways literally means fork in the road or crossroads. Since the text speaks of a fork in the road or a crossroads, then we know that there is more than one path. The text speaks explicitly of old paths. But since it also speaks of a fork in the road, we can infer that the other paths that go the opposite direction, they must be new paths. New paths. New paths are the paths that men walk in when they live contrary to God's word. Instead of walking in the old paths by following God's word, one who walks in new paths, he puts God's word away. He does not follow it. He sees God's old paths, but he says, I'm going to walk in a different way. I'm going to blaze new trails. Instead of following God's path for marriage, instead of following God's path for the raising of my children, I will do what is most convenient for me, what I feel like doing. New paths are the paths that the world naturally walks in. We see it all around us. The world utterly hates God's path for marriage. We see that. The world hates what God says about worship. That is obvious too. The world hates what God says about the raising of their children. Tonight, however, we are not here to talk about what the world does and how they do not walk in God's paths. We must see tonight that the church so easily behaves just like the world. The church so easily blazes those new trails. Church in the Old Testament certainly did. We read of that in Jeremiah 6. At the time of Jeremiah, Judah had forsaken the old paths, and they were making new paths, especially in the areas of worship and in the treatment of the neighbor. Instead of following God's old paths in their worship, Judah had become bored with the worship of God, and they had begun to worship idols. Verse 15 speaks of that idolatry. Jeremiah 6, verse 15 says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." That word abomination in the text could also be translated idolatry. These people knew God's laws. God had said that they were to worship Him and worship Him alone, that they were not to worship Him using graven images. Yet they did just that. The people probably thought like this: we've been worshiping God the same way for so long. Cannot we do something a little different? Cannot we have a little more fun like the heathen nations do in their worship of their gods? Sadly, the priests of the land agreed with them. The priests set up idols. They even had the audacity to say that they were worshiping God through those dumb images, which of course was impossible. They had thrown God's word away. But they had not only thrown God's word away in regard to their worship, they had also fallen away from God's path in the treatment of their neighbor. Jeremiah 6, verse 13 makes that very obvious. Jeremiah 6, verse 13 says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." Rather than seeking to serve the neighbor as God commanded, every man only cared about himself. They all sought to gain the things their neighbor had. Instead of dealing in truth with one another in their business deals, every man did whatever he could to make a little more money. They had thrown God's word out. They were blazing new trails. But again, we are not here tonight to point at the world. We are not here simply to hear about the failures of the Old Testament church. Tonight, we must look at ourselves and examine ourselves as well. We, as the New Testament church, often behave in the same way, and we walk in new paths. So easily we can do this in our worship. So quickly we can have a wrong attitude towards the worship of God and blaze a new trail. So quickly we can think regarding worship, why so much preaching? Do we really need to hear 2 45-minute sermons every Sunday? Cannot we make worship a little more exciting? Cannot we have a little more fun? We might not say that, but so quickly we can think that. So easily we fall off God's path in regard to our attitude in worship, but so quickly also do we fall off God's path in the area of the treatment of our neighbors. Quickly we can think, Do I really need to give of my time and my money for that person? I have to worry about myself, you know. I can help them when I get a little more established, when I make a little more money and I'm set for life. Then I will care. Then I will help. So quickly, the focus is all on me and what I need. We lose sight of God's path in our treatment of the neighbor. We lose sight of God's path in our worship. But also, we as parents can so easily fall off God's path in the raising of our children, too. Things get busy. We get home from work, and we think after supper, I have to get back to my work, or there's a ball game, or there's this or that and the other thing. We'll say, well, we'll do family devotions tomorrow night, or we will go over catechism later in the week. There's time. And soon those things are falling by the wayside or not done well at all. So quickly, we fall off the paths. Now, there are two reasons that the church so often walks in these new paths. First, not all in the church on this earth are God's people. Romans 9, verse 6 says, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. There are many today, there were many in Judah, who act as if they want to walk in God's paths, but really they have no interest. They are not God's people. They do not follow His ways. Second, even those who are truly God's people are so weak. We know that. Still having that old man of sin within them, God's people can so easily tire of serving the neighbor as they ought. They can so easily tire of raising their children in the fear of the Lord. It's hard work. It is much easier to do what the flesh desires. Tonight, then, as the church, we stand at the crossroads. We do. We have seen the old paths, the commands and principles of God's Word. Opposite those old paths, we have seen the new paths. God commands us tonight in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, He commands us clearly, walk in the old paths. The text says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Now, in order to obey that main command of the text, there are two other commands that come before it that are very important. The text first says, stand ye in the ways and see, or examine the paths, and ask for the old paths. In order to walk in the old paths, we first must see or examine the paths, and then ask for the old paths. The text here is using the figure of a traveler. As we've seen, that phrase, stand ye in the ways, means that there is a traveler who's standing at a crossroads. The text is using a figure. Now this traveler, he's wondering which way to take. He sees an old beaten path in front of him, but he could also blaze a new trail. Not knowing which way to take, he examines those paths. He sees them, considers them. Still not knowing which way to take, he goes into town. And he asks the locals, he says, which is the good way? Which is the good way? God is saying in this text, be like that traveler. Consider the options. Ask for the old paths. First, Judah, the Old Testament church, had been commanded to see or examine the paths. They had those two paths in front of them. They were not just to plunge blindly down any path thinking, it will be okay. I will be fine. No, they were to stop. Consider the options. Then the text says, ask for the old paths. We might wonder, why would Judah, the Old Testament church, have to ask for the old paths? Didn't they already know them? They had the Ten Commandments. They had the ceremonial and civil laws. Judah had to ask for the old paths because things had gotten so bad in Judah that they no longer clearly saw what the old paths were. Judah had been worshiping idols for so long that they no longer clearly saw God's path for worship. Judah had been so concerned about themselves, each man for himself, for so long that they no longer clearly saw God's path for the treatment of the neighbor. Judah had been so influenced by the heathen nations all around them that they no longer clearly saw God's path for the raising of their children or for marriage. That is why Judah had to ask for these old paths. God commanded them to go to the few good priests. The few good priests left in the land and say, "Priest, O priest, show to us what is God's way for worship." They were to go to the few good prophets left in the land and say, "What is God's way for the raising of my children and for marriage and for the treatment of my neighbor? Show to me that way, that good way." Judah was first to examine the paths and then ask for the old paths. We, the New Testament church, have the same command tonight. We too are just like that traveler. We have those two paths before us, the old paths, commands and principles of His Word, and the new paths. God says to us tonight, consider the options, examine them. Do not go blindly down any path. Stop, and examine them. And then ask for the old paths. Again, we might wonder, why do we need to ask for the old paths? We should already know them. We have gone to church. We have gone to school, a Christian school. Most of us have heard about these old paths our entire lives. Why do we need to ask for them? We need to ask for them because we still have that old man of sin within us. As those who still have the old man of sin within us, we can so quickly lose sight and become disinterested in God's ways. Think about it. So quickly, we can come to church simply out of habit. And we might do that for such a long time that we lose clear sight of God's path for worship, what it really means to worship Him from our hearts. We can so easily become interested, obsessed with ourselves and getting what we want and desire, that we lose sight of God's paths for the treatment of the neighbor. So quickly we can become influenced by what we see on TV and by what we see on the internet. So influenced by these things that we lose a clear sight, clear view of God's paths for the raising of our children and for marriage. These things are powerful. The devil is powerful. So let us ask. Let us ask for the old paths and not go forth blindly. How do we ask for them? We ask for them by coming right here. By coming right here to God's house. Here, we hear God's word proclaimed. Here, we hear what His will is for every area of our lives. Children, you do that. You ask for the old paths when you go to catechism. When you prepare for catechism, when you go there and listen and participate, you are saying, "God, show to me the old paths." When you do that for Sunday school, that's coming up in about a month or even less, that's what you're doing. You're asking God for the old paths. Speak to the other saints also in the congregation about these old paths. Go to the Bible studies. There we discuss what God's ways are for us here in the 21st century. Children, ask your parents, talk to your grandparents about their experience on the old paths. You can go to your grandpa and say, "Tell me about your experience on the old paths. What is it like? Show me." Consider the paths. Ask for the old ones. And then the text says, gives us the main command. It says, walk therein. Walk in those old paths. First, that the text says walk therein means that we do not go down the new paths. Do not go down them. Be like that traveler who says, "No, I will not take that new trail. I will not try to blaze a new trail." Hearing the preaching of the word and going to catechism and going to a Christian school, do not respond to that upbringing that you have been given by saying, "Oh, I know about the dangers of the new paths," but then not go any farther. No, turn from them. Turn from them. Put away any ideas of changing how God is to be worshipped, how He says He is to be worshipped right here. Put away the self-serving thoughts of the world and the continual focus upon you and what's best for me. Put that away. Put away the worldly thoughts regarding marriage, regarding the raising of children. Throw them out and walk in the old paths. Be like the traveler who says, I will take that old beaten path. I will walk therein. Seek to worship God. Follow His paths for worship. Worship Him every day, but also especially in His house from the heart. Seek to walk in God's paths by loving the neighbor. Love your neighbor right here. Serve that neighbor who you know here is struggling with something. Seek to help them physically. Seek to help them spiritually. Speak to your neighbor in your neighborhood. Speak to them about the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. That is real love. Love the neighbor as God commands. Follow God's paths in the treatment of your spouse and in the raising of your children. Live in loving faithfulness to your spouse. Have family devotions with your children. Discuss the Word. Show to them the old paths. Speak to them. Pray to them. Teach them their catechism. Walk in these old paths consistently. Do it day after day after day. It is not that we can walk however we please during the week and then come here to God's house and walk in His paths on Sunday. That's not how God works. If one continues in the new paths in every area, every other area of his life, he will soon become lost in those new paths. Seek to walk in His ways then in every area at all times. Follow His Word. Now, as we've heard about these old paths tonight, we see our failures. Every one of us does. It is so difficult to walk in these old paths. We know that. We have heard the Word. We know exactly what it means to walk in His old paths. Yet so quickly, we do not. We cannot do it naturally. And even those who have the Spirit, even us who are His children, we still struggle to walk in His ways in every area of our lives. Cry out to God then tonight. Cry out to God for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ and ask for strength in Him to walk in the old paths. Tonight, get on your knees. Ask for forgiveness in the blood of the one who perfectly walked in God's old paths. Jesus Christ came here. He perfectly followed the righteous paths. He followed the good way. And doing that, He could go to the cross. He could bear all of our sins, and He did. So go and ask God for forgiveness. Not only ask for forgiveness, but ask for strength in Christ to walk in His paths. Christ's Spirit strengthens His people to walk even as Christ walked. So ask for His strength tonight and every day. Walk in the old paths. And the text tells us that those who do, those who by the power of Christ's strength working in them walk in these old paths, they have rest for their souls. They experience wonderful peace. That is how the text concludes. The text says, as we've seen, the main command, it says, walk therein, walk in those old paths. And then the phrase that immediately follows it is very important. It says, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. God promises rest to those who walk in His ways. Let us understand that. Let us see that God promises rest to those who walk in His ways, but also there is misery for those who don't. Let's see those things clearly tonight in conclusion. In the way of obedience, one finds rest. God had told Judah that in the way of obedience, they would have peace. For Judah, enjoying rest involved remaining in that physical land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, that picture of heaven, the people of Judah would continue to enjoy rest from all of their enemies. They would experience their God's wonderful mercy. They would experience salvation. They would experience God's wonderful friendship there. However, only in the way of walking in the old paths would they enjoy this rest. And the same thing is true for us. In the way of obedience, we also will have true rest. That is, we also will have peace. In the way of walking in God's commands, we do not have a rest anymore that is physically tied to the land of Canaan. Instead, in the way of obedience, we experience His mercy, His wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. We know His forgiveness. However, if one rejects the old paths, they experience the opposite of rest. They experience misery. That is implied in this text. The people of Judah at this time were experiencing no peace as those who were continuing in sin. Jeremiah 6 verse 14. Jeremiah 6 verse 14 says, "They have healed," that is speaking of the false prophets in the land at this time. It says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." That is what God said. There is no peace at this time in this land because we're walking in sin. While God fellowships with one who walks in the old paths, He does not and cannot dwell in fellowship with those who continue in their sins. He cannot. One who is walking in the new paths and continuing in that way is rejecting God. He is saying, "I want nothing to do with your paths, with thy paths, O God. I want nothing to do with them. I am going to walk as I please." One who does that, one who thinks that, cannot enjoy fellowship with the holy God. He's holy. However, God told Judah then that if they continued in their way of sin, they would be taken captive. They would be taken out of that land of rest, and they would be brought to experience misery in the land of Babylon. Jeremiah 6, verse 8 says that God would make them desolate, a land not inhabited, if they continued in their ways. God said that all in Judah would experience this terrible misery. Everyone from the smallest child to the oldest grandparent, as verse 11 speaks of. Those who continued in this way would not know Jehovah's rest in the land of Canaan. They would not know His love. They would not know His friendship. If they continued in that way, they would be not only taken captive into Babylon, but they would be destroyed forever in hell. The same thing is true for men today, for us. There is misery for all those who do not continue, or all those who do not walk in God's ways. Misery if one continues in sin. Many who blatantly walk in new paths today, they may seem happy. Many in the world may seem happy to us. But there is no peace in one's heart who continues in sin. He does not know Jehovah's love. He does not know His mercy. He has no peace. He has no rest. He is far from God. So we must conclude tonight with the same question that we began with. Which paths will we take? Which paths will we take? Facing the fork in the road and knowing exactly what would happen going down each path, we saw what Judah did. Facing the fork in the road, Judah scorned that rest with God that we just spoke of. Scorned it. Judah's sin moved to defiance according to the text. Facing that crossroads and knowing exactly what each way would mean for them, they looked at Jeremiah and they said, "We will not walk in God's paths. We will not walk therein." They rejected life with God. They said, "We would rather live as the world does than live with Thee, O God." Because they refused to walk in God's ways, they were taken captive. They did experience terrible misery. Now God used that terrible misery that Judah experienced in Babylon to take His elect seed and bring them back to Himself. However, the carnal seed in Judah was destroyed in Babylon. They became lost in the ways of the world. They went down the path to destruction. What will we do? Which paths will we take? God has warned us, go down those new paths and you will experience terrible misery. Walk in my paths and you will enjoy my love. Let us then not go blindly through life thinking that any way is okay. No, let tonight and every day let us stop. Let us examine the paths. Ask for the old paths. let us walk therein. In that way, in the way of that obedience that flows out of faith, we will enjoy wonderful peace with God. Wonderful peace now, wonderful peace forever. Let us walk in the old paths. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we humbly draw nigh unto thee tonight, for we know, as those who have considered this call to walk in the old paths, we know and we see that we have failed. So often we have forsaken thy ways and we have blazed new trails. O Lord, O merciful God, forgive our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who perfectly walked in thy ways. Forgive us, and we pray that by thy powerful work in our hearts, by the powerful life of Christ working within us, we might turn and we might follow the old paths. In that way, O God, give to us marvelous peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.